Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, replacing old windows for smoother operation and home comfort. More at callmosby.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. High speeds, wide, very wide arterial roads, inadequate crossings for walkers, and not enough bike facilities for cyclists. All combined, these factors contribute to very real danger for people. And according to the latest crash report from the St. Louis-based nonprofit TrailNet, 2024 was a record year for tragic reasons. Nearly six people lost their lives to traffic violence while walking or using a wheelchair or mobility scooter in the city of St. Louis and St. Louis County. Here to discuss that and other key findings, we welcome Cindy Mentz, CEO of TrailNet. Cindy, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
So, Cindy, last year there were fewer reported crashes involving pedestrians and people biking, but 2024 was the deadliest year on record for pedestrians in St. Louis City and St. Louis County. There were 59 people killed while walking, standing, or using a wheelchair or mobility aid on St. Louis roads and sidewalks. And the report this year begins by stating that year after year, these crashes are happening on specific roads with distinct features. What types of roads, Cindy, continue to be most dangerous for pedestrians?
Well, I think the first thing that comes to mind is roads like Grand, Kings Highway, Halls Ferry, West Florissant. These roads are called arterials, and these arterials connect through communities, and they go through neighborhoods, too. And so it's natural to expect people are going to need to cross those arterials. They're not highways. Mm-hmm. And so they share features with wide lanes. They lack, like you mentioned, they lack the infrastructure for pedestrians, good crossings for folks.
Mm-hmm. And how do speeds also come into play with these wide arterials?
Well, so when you have wide straight roadways, you naturally, as a driver, you just tend to treat it like a highway and you go faster. We've seen speeding increasing ever since the pandemic in 2020. And so people are driving at higher speeds. And those speeds, of course, the physics behind that means that when you hit somebody, the chances of them not surviving mm-hmm. or greatly increased.
Now, one of the things to note is that there were fewer crashes, but more people who were experiencing fatalities after being struck by vehicles. Was that any surprise to you?
I think that the increase in fatalities, it follows the trends that we've been seeing over the last 5 years. And so we're not surprised. I think that people have naturally noticed that cars are getting bigger, mm-hmm. and the point at which a car might hit a pedestrian is higher because of where the front end of the car might be. And so that's contributing to it as well.
Mm-hmm. And where is it that these arterials, these very wide ones, mm-hmm. are located? They're not evenly distributed, so to speak, throughout the region, right?
Right, right. These are going to be the streets that continue to end up like in our top 10 corridors. So you've got Grand, Gravois, Kings Highway mm-hmm. as some of those roadways, Chippewa, out in the county, New Halls Ferry, West Florissant. These roads, it might be something that typically from your neighborhood and you're going to get to a highway, you're going to take this arterial to get there. Mm-hmm. They're major connectors for folks.
Right. Now, the crash-prone areas, though, where do they tend to be located?
So the crash-prone areas, we tend to see more likely happening at mid-block or happening at intersections. And then based on, if you're talking about geographically mm-hmm. where they're happening, we see a higher concentration happening on the north side.
Right.
Whether it's the city or the county.
Mm-hmm. And so communities of color is often where we're seeing these.
That's true. And mm-hmm. I think that you can't bring up the communities north of Del Mar without acknowledging the historic impacts of redlining and the decreased investment in infrastructure over time.
Right. We also want to hear from you. Do you feel safe walking and biking in St. Louis streets? Have you had close encounters or vehicle crash on the roadways recently? Give us a call at 314-382-8255. That's 314-382-TALK. You can also send an email to talk@stlpr.org. Cindy, what is it that is known about the causes of most crashes between vehicles and pedestrians, and then vehicles and bicyclists?
Well, we can't walk away without saying it's speeding. People are driving too fast, and the roadways are encouraging that. So the way that our roads are designed are encouraging it. Distraction also plays a role in it, but in Missouri, we just passed distracted driving legislation that took effect in January. So hopefully folks are putting their phone down and using a hands-free device. And those are the major things that are playing into that, the speeding and the distraction.
Can you talk with us about pedestrian and, you know, how that is defined?
So in our report, whenever we talk about pedestrian, we're talking about people walking, people using mobility devices, people in wheelchairs. We see you, people who might be using a device to, that might be blind. So we're talking about every aspect of people.
And then on the note of cyclists, the report looks at crashes that involve those who are on bicycles. How safe were our roads in the past year for people on bicycles?
So for people on bicycles, we still see them at risk. We also wonder if perhaps there are less people biking because of that, and because they might not feel safe. And so we are seeing that for cyclists, when there's no bike lane existing, that they're certainly more at risk.
And I think that I saw in the report that in St. Louis County, the number of people struck by drivers while biking actually increased 38% from 2023, and that 81% of crashes happened, as you noted, where there were no bike lanes or trails.
Right. So we know that bike lanes work. So bike lanes, when there is a separated facility for cyclists or somebody, you know, using a scooter or wheelchair might use this mobility lane as well, we know that they're safer and there's less likely to be a crash. It also offers a buffer to the person walking, and it naturally narrows the lane a little bit. And so cars are less likely to speed.
Right. Now, I do ride my bike recreationally, but not to and fro a lot of different places. So I'd like to introduce another voice to this conversation. Sarah Hanley is a St. Louis resident who regularly rides her bike along St. Louis roadways. She's also a supporting member of TrailNet. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
So, Sarah, before we get to talking about some of these lanes, can you talk with us about the roadways that you most frequently use?
So I'm a retired bike commuter, and when I was commuting to work, I would take a combination of residential streets, larger arterials, and sometimes, if I was able to, greenways to get to my workplace. Currently, I bike most places, so I will go to the doctor on my bike and typically try to have appointments that are closer to where I live and then take residential streets. But I also am an avid recreational cyclist, and that often involves having to ride on major arterials to get to a place that I want to cycle.
How safe have you felt biking, you know, over the years?
So I would say that the vast majority of automobile drivers are very courteous, sometimes somewhat distracted, but the problem for us as cyclists is that one or two, the one or two people who are not paying attention or who are somewhat aggressive in their style. It's concerning the rate of speed of cars, and often it feels like there are no really good choices to get to where you want to go.
Have you noticed that drivers are driving faster?
Yes, and also not really obeying things like traffic signals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think also cars can accelerate without making the sound that you're used to. And so sometimes, depending on the type of car, it might accelerate very silently and very quickly, and you can't judge that.
Right.
And that's true for pedestrians and cyclists.
Yeah, and so we're talking about, you know, EV, electric vehicles and that sort of thing. Sarah, I mean, Sarah, do you feel like bike lanes are effective?
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely.
I mean, is there a situation in which you felt like being in a bike lane helped you to avert some accident or incident? Or maybe a particular
I actually
roadway?
Have a personal experience with the opposite. But
But
there are roads like Clayton Road, which goes, so I'll take that from where I live in University City out to West County or to the end of Clayton Road. And the characteristic of that road changes dramatically over the distance.
Yeah.
And there are places that feel comfortable. Traffic speeds are a little bit slower. Cars either have a turning lane in the middle. It'd be like a three-lane road with a decent shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And that feels comfortable. But then there are places where it's six lanes with no bike infrastructure, and that feels scary.
Yeah. And you've just mentioned that negative personal experience. Can you talk with us about that?
So I've had several. I had in 2017, I was riding actually on a greenway, and a car came across the greenway very rapidly, and I ended up crashing into the car and fracturing my pelvis.
Oh, my goodness.
In multiple places.
Mm-hmm.
Another time I was riding in Wildwood and in a bike lane, and a car passed very close. So I was somewhat distracted by that and didn't notice that there was a sewer grate in the bike lane and hit that and lost control of my bicycle and fractured my clavicle.
Oh, gosh. So this is happening in different parts of the region. So clearly this is a region-wide issue, right, Cindy?
Absolutely. And there are regional efforts being made as well.
Mm-hmm. Sarah, did those drivers that caused the crashes, did they stay to see what was going on with you? Did they just pass you by? What happened there?
So the first driver did stop, and he did stay at the accident.
Okay. Have you biked in other parts of the country where bike lanes are done differently or better?
I would say in general, where I've biked in the United States, it's spotty. So there are places where things are great, and then it's the discontinuity of bike infrastructure that really presents a lot of challenges to cyclists.
Right. So as we're talking about these in real life experiences you have, Cindy, as far as what you have seen too, in how things have developed over time, has there been improvement that you can point to in areas that is quite significant and that you're hoping to see continue?
Absolutely. So one of the things we highlighted in the report are the changes that happened on Natural Bridge in the city. And when they put in traffic calming in 2021, there was a 79% decrease in crashes, which you just can't argue with. And it has stayed low ever since. And so that infrastructure, what it looks like is bump outs, medians, crosswalk improvements, signal timing. All of those improvements have led to this reduction in crashes. And so it's hard to argue with that. We know that traffic calming infrastructure works.
Mm-hmm. Sarah, with all the experiences that you have had, what is it that has you continue to use your bicycle?
Cycling is just a joyful activity.
Mm-hmm.
So I continue to do it.
Yeah, even with all of the run-ins that you've had.
Yeah.
So In the total picture of things, Cindy, do you feel that people are maybe a little bit more aware than they were before because of the kinds of improvements that you've talked about?
Yes, I want to emphasize that, you know, we're all going to be pedestrians in our journeys. And so it isn't pedestrians versus cyclists versus cars. It's like, if we want a safer environment, We're all pedestrians at some point. You got to get out of your car to walk into the bank, to grab an ice cream cone. We know that these arterias are connecting us through neighborhoods. And so in order to have a safer environment, we have to learn to drive along this with the traffic calming infrastructure. And it's really just meant to keep you from speeding and have you pause for a moment and take your foot off of the gas. Mm-hmm. And then it also increases the visibility of the person walking or the person biking. And so all of those features contribute to making it a safer environment for everybody.
Mm-hmm. We have a caller from St. Louis. Let's have Scott join us with his question or comment. Scott, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Now, I don't dismiss what the driver's doing, but I live near Kings Highway, and I go the entire length basically from Chippewa up to Highway 6440. And often, very often, there's a person jaywalking. They're standing in the middle lane, you know, in those tiny little, on the little two little yellow stripes with cars zinging both ways. You know, at some point, pedestrians need to take responsibility for their own safety in cases like that.
You know? Sure.
Well, they need to walk at the cross. They need to go at the crosswalks.
Right. Thank you, Scott, so much. Cindy, do you hear that a lot, that pedestrians are not doing enough to...
I do. In fact, I have an experience where we worked together with Missouri Department of Transportation to do a road safety audit along Page Avenue. And when I observed that sort of behavior, I stopped and went and talked to the pedestrian. I was like, why did you do that? The crosswalk's just right up there. Why didn't you take the crosswalk? And she was like, well, I'm trying to catch the bus. Mm-hmm. If I'm not on that side where the bus sees me, I'm going to miss the bus. And it only comes every 50 minutes. And she felt like she was safer taking it in chunks and stopping in the middle. So certainly pedestrians need to be better informed, but sometimes we don't have the infrastructure there, those mid-block crossings that help folks get to where they need to go.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that comment and better informed pedestrians and drivers knowing that we're connecting through neighborhoods and people want to go and use a service, go into a store, that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the things that we hear as we learn to drive mm-hmm. is to drive defensively. And this is certainly not to say that we want to, you know, blame people who are being hit. But what are some of the things that pedestrians can take into account in order to ensure their safety?
Well, absolutely. Crossing at the crosswalk, definitely you have better visibility. I do think pedestrians, like, trying to be seen and predictable. We say the same thing for cyclists, but I do think that cars do propose, they make it difficult because mm-hmm. it's hard to judge speeding cars now. I really think it's much harder for folks to be able to tell how fast a car is going
mm-hmm.
Because the speeds are so incredibly fast compared
right.
in the past.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Sarah.
Well, and I know I live in University City, and our public swimming pool is just south of Olive Boulevard. And to cross Olive Boulevard, you've got to cross four lanes, and there's over half a mile
yes.
that kids would have to walk to get to a light.
Mm-hmm.
And that really just promotes jaywalking.
Right, right.
And I think that there's just a lack of good infrastructure for pedestrians.
Mm-hmm. We need to take a quick break here, but we'll be back shortly to continue this conversation about a recent report about traffic violence in the St. Louis area and how infrastructure and human behavior affect how safely pedestrians and cyclists can navigate roadways in STL. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio.
Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
Welcome back. Let's return to our conversation with Cindy Mentz and Sarah Hanley. We're talking about the findings of the nonprofit TrailNet's 2024 crash report and its findings about traffic violence and safety in the St. Louis area. We have Eric, who is calling in from University City. Eric, you're on St. Louis on the Air.
Thank you very much. Well, TrailNet does great work, and I'm wondering, I came in a little late. What can we really do on the region To make this a better place for people who are walking and biking specifically, in which communities are really doing a great job in making this really happen. It's not just about safety. It's much far beyond that in terms of creating good quality of life and health in our community. Mm-hmm. So thanks a lot for all your great work at TrailNet.
Yes, thank you. Cindy?
Yeah, thank you. Well, I think regionally, one thing to keep in mind is that East-West Gateway, who's our metropolitan planning organization, they have they created a Gateway to Safer Roads plan, and so they have an overall plan for the region to decrease these fatalities. It is possible to have zero fatalities through design, education, looking at systems. There are cities that have accomplished that. And then you asked about municipalities that are doing a good job. First, what comes to mind is the city of Webster and the city of Kirkwood. Kirkwood has their own Safe Streets committee. Kirk was working on Vision Zero. They also had some of the Safe Streets for All funding that they're working with. Also, Webster Groves is were the recipient of Safe Streets for All federal funding. And St. Louis County also is applying it and looking at implementing their action plan for walking and biking, which TrailNet helped them develop in 2019. Mm-hmm. So a lot of steps are happening, and I could go on about the city.
What is it that the funding that you've talked about mm-hmm. lead to, you know, in practice on the streets? What is it that people see?
So the first step is having a plan for how are you going to reduce these traffic fatalities. So a combination of looking at the systems, redesigning the roads, having policies that fund this type of infrastructure. And so now that there is a regional plan, municipalities, in fact, there's an open call for that funding right now, can apply for that funding using East-West Gateway's plan. And then those municipalities that have an individual plan, both the city of Kirkwood and the city of Webster Groves, TrailNet did a bike ped plan for them probably 10 years ago. They can take that plan and say, we're going to implement it, and these are the pieces of how they're going to do it. So that Safe Streets for All funding helps them implement their plan. Mm-hmm. So whether it's putting in the roadways, upgrading traffic signals, adding pedestrian safety islands, that type of stuff will be funded.
Mm-hmm. We also have David, who is calling from University City. David, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I support TrailNet's work. They've been a mover for a long time in this area. I've ridden for decades all over the world. St. Louis is not safe. There's no public service announcements to encourage cycling. I've been hit several times by cars. Vast majority, like your witness said, are courteous and careful, but it's that 5% that are not mm-hmm. on their phones. Also, in Europe, if it weren't for cycling, those cities would be unlivable. And it's getting that way in America. I noticed in St. Louis, the density of cars increases every year. We add almost a million new cars to the roads every year in this country. We can't continue like this.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much with your thoughts, David. Cindy, you mentioned the city. What are some of the solutions that are being worked on by the city of St. Louis?
So the city has updated their complete streets policy. So every time you design, build, or maintain a street, their policy now requires them to look at all different types of users. They are updating their ADA transition plan, and so ADA accommodations benefit everybody. So when a sidewalk has a ramp, that's not just for the person in the wheelchair. That's going to help somebody pushing a stroller, mm-hmm. Walking with their kid on a little balance bike. The city of St. Louis also has dedicated, with their Board Bill 120, funds to improve sidewalks, to create a transportation mobility plan, often referred to as the TMP, that is going to guide mobility development and safety over the next couple of years. They also have a new traffic calming guidebook they produced, I think, about 2 years ago that defines what it looks like. So that it's not random collection of traffic calming tools. They've identified the tools they want to use most and how they're going to employ those. Mm-hmm. So, yes, the city is working hard to put in those, and In June, we're going to see our first two-way protected cycle track coming in on Tower Grove Avenue.
Mm-hmm. Sarah?
And I think it's important to emphasize, you know, Cindy keeps referring to traffic calming, but the fact of the matter is a calm street is a street that flows smoothly. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the streets that we have, the way they're designed, they have a lot of lanes, they're very straight, they encourage speeding, and what cars are doing is racing to the next light. Mm-hmm. And if you have a street that's fewer lanes but has traffic circles, the cars are just rolling along continuously at a slightly slower pace, but actually getting to their destination as fast or faster.
Right.
Absolutely.
Cindy, in our final minute here, what are the things that you will be looking at more closely in future TrailNet crash reports?
Well, we want to continue to follow the success of traffic calming infrastructure and bike lanes. So far we have seen a lower number of crashes where people drive more slowly, where the traffic calming infrastructure is, where pedestrians are visible. We want to be able to track that and show people that the infrastructure that the cities have invested in is working.
Mm-hmm. Cindy Mentz is the CEO of TrailNet, and Sarah Hanley is a St. Louis resident and regular cyclist, as well as a supporting TrailNet member. Thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you.
This episode was produced by Emily Woodbury.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.